Hello.
Right, let's begin. Hi, my name is Oleg Sich. I'm a consultant with Catapult Systems. I build software applications for a living. I don't build tools. Can you guys raise your hands if you build applications? That's a decent number. How many of you build development tools? Even less. Okay, so T4, we're going to be talking about code generation and T4. The reason I wanted to ask you how many of you build applications is because code generation tools are traditionally kind of confined to the space of tool development. And that is certainly the case with the previous code generation technology that that came with the .NET framework, the code DOM. Creating code generators was difficult and laborious. With T4, the process is a lot more straightforward, a lot easier. So let's dive into it. What is T4? It stands for Text Template Transformation Toolkit. It's a technology that Microsoft developed, I think, around 2006 as part of the domain-specific language tools. It has ASP.NET-like template syntax, which should be familiar to all of you who are using either ASP.NET or PHP or perhaps other code generation tools like CodeSmith or nVelocity. You can generate any text files with it, C#, Visual Basic, T-SQL, anything. And you can use Visual Basic and C# to make your templates dynamic, to customize the code generation. By the way, in the demos, I will be using C#. That's because I'm more comfortable with it. Everything you see today can be done with Visual Basic as well. T4 is built into Visual Studio 2010 and 2008. And if you're still using Visual Studio 2005, you can get it as a download if you search for DSL Tools Runtime on MSDN. Here's a Hello World template in T4. So this template will produce a file that says Hello World. T4 templates consist of text blocks, processing directives, and code blocks. Text blocks, like this one, contain text that the T4 engine will write to the output file as is. The processing directives provide instructions on how to interpret the rest of the template. And this particular directive tells the engine that C# is being used as a programming language in code blocks. And code blocks are blocks of executable .NET code. So you might be wondering, how do the code blocks work? Is it some kind of weird scripting language or something like that? And the answer is no. Here's how it works. There are two distinct stages that T4 goes through when generating output from a template. During the first stage, it parses the template. It splits it into processing directives, text blocks, code blocks, and then it generates this what I call a compile template. It's a class that descends from text transformation in the Visual Studio text templating assembly, and it overrides a transform text method. And you can see that the text block became a call to write method. So that method is actually inherited from the base class text transformation. And the contents of the code block were copied to the compile template as is. During the second stage, what happens is T4 creates an instance of this class. It calls the transform text method, and it takes the string that it returns and saves it to the output file. There are several different kinds of code blocks. The ones that we saw earlier is a statement block. And the cool thing about statement blocks is that you can combine them with text blocks. So here, we have two statement blocks and a text block sandwiched between them. In the first statement block, we have a definition of a for loop header. In the second one, we have a closing curly brace for it. So the end result is our text block will be executed, quote unquote, within a for loop three times. So when T4 runs this template and transform text method is called, you will see that hello world is written to the output file three times. Next kind of block is expression block. So this is similar to ASP.NET. The expression blocks use equal sign that distinguishes them from statement blocks. And they can contain any valid expression, Visual Basic or C# expression. When this template is compiled, you'll see that the expression block was converted to this write method. This is basically a culture-sensitive toString call. So we're taking the value of the expression, we're converting it to string, and we're writing it to the output file. So it's just a shorthand version for calling i.toString. The end result is you can see that the value of the I variable was written to the output file three times, one in each line. The last kind of blocks, code blocks, is class feature blocks. You can tell them apart by the plus symbol that they use. So class feature blocks can contain any programming constructs that are valid at a class level. In this particular class feature block, we have a method called hello world defined, which we then call from the statement block. When T4 compiles this template, you will notice that the contents of the class feature block were copied to the generated text transformation outside of the transform text method, while the statement block was copied inside of the transform text method. So that's the key distinction. When T4 runs this template, what will happen is it will call the transform text will call hello world, and so on and so forth. So the end result is still the same boring hello world in the output file. And finally, class feature blocks can be combined with text blocks and expression blocks to do some advanced templating functionality. So, for example, here we have our hello world method is split between actually two class feature blocks, and we have a text block and an expression block there. So that's the text block and the expression block. And when this template is compiled, you will see that the text block is now became a call to the write method inside of our helper method, and the expression block is transformed in a similar fashion as well. So the important point here is that this gives you the ability to put the templating functionality inside of helper methods, and so that you can break up your complex long template into manageable pieces by encapsulating them in these methods, and still take advantage of the templating functionality. And remember, I told you that class feature blocks can contain any class level constructs. So in this rather contrived example, we have a field defined in a class feature block, and you can tell that it became a field in the generated text transformation. So once this template runs, we still have the same boring hello world in the output file. So let's apply this knowledge and see how we can build a text template that actually does something useful. And I'm going to be using the example that that John Mark started earlier with the UML diagrams in Visual Studio 2010. So what I have here is I have a class diagram that defines a simple model. I have a customer class, an order class, and a product class. This is a rather simple diagram, but we can quite easily generate code from it. Let's see. So let me close this down. As you may remember, we create a new template by selecting a text template from the new item wizard. Let me call this UML demo. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and hard code the code that I want this generator to produce dynamically. Once it's completed. I can't do that. When I'm done, I'll do this. How's that?
You're slick.
Yes, that's. Oh man, you're stealing my lines. All right, so so I'm finished typing my first text block. So this right here is one large, small depending on your perspective, text block. When we save this file, the code generation is automatically triggered. So we see the contents of the text block copied to the output file. As someone has pointed out, yes, we have a problem. It needs to be the extension needs to be .cs. I can change that using the output directive. When I save the file, you will notice that the output file was regenerated, and so now we have the syntax highlighting and IntelliSense in this file. All right, so right now this is hard-coded, at this point we would like to make it dynamic. We want to retrieve the metadata that we're going to use for generation and actually produce this content dynamically instead of hard-coding it. There are many different types of metadata that you can use. So in this example, we're using the UML diagrams in Visual Studio, but it's not the T4 templates are not limited to DSL toolkits. They're not limited to UML diagrams. You can use any type of metadata that you can think of. For example, when I typically give this demo, I usually use the Microsoft SQL Server Management APIs to generate code from the metadata stored in the database. But anyway, for this demo, we're going to be using the UML diagrams. And what I have here, I have created this file. And don't tell Jean-Marc I showed this to you guys, because this is the old school way of retrieving metadata from UML class diagrams in beta 1. This no longer works in beta 2. I still don't know how this is accomplished. But the reason I wanted to show this to you guys is because you see that we're using assembly directives here to reference the assemblies that contain this API that we're going to be using. So T4 will reference these assemblies when the template is compiled, making it available to our template. We also have a class feature block here that defines a helper method called getModel, which encapsulates the code necessary to retrieve the model information from the class diagram. So at this point, I can go ahead and use the include directive. To reference this code, and of course I'm going to get a compiler error because I also need the inherits parameter here. So the inherits parameter here will change the base class of my generated text transformation, which is required by this code that I'm using in umlmodel.tt. All right. So at this point it compiles. We're done, right? Not quite. Here's how we get the model. So I'm going to declare a variable of type iModel. This type is defined in a namespace called Microsoft Visual Studio UML Auxiliary constructs. So what this directive allows us to do is it allows us to specify namespace we're going to be using the types from. So this is your using statement in C# or your import statement in Visual Basic. Once I have the model here, I can start parameterizing my code generation. So I'm going to create another statement block. I'm going to iterate through types. In my model, and I need to be careful to close the loop here. All right. Here I get the same error again. I need to reference import another assembly. All right, awesome. So the model will contain not only classes but also other types. So I want to only look at the ones of type class. And if they're not of type class, I want to skip them. All right, so at this point, if we look at the output file, we will see that we have a class definition repeated as many times as we have classes in our UML diagram. So we have three classes in the diagram. We have three classes generated in our code. To make it dynamic, we can use an expression block here to emit the name of the class dynamically. So you can see customer, product, order. And finally, to make the generation.
That's cool.
Oh wow, you're gonna make this difficult for me, guys. All right, let's see. Is that good?
Awesome.
Okay. All right, so to generate properties, I need another for each loop. And this time, instead of using templating functionality, I'm just going to use a concatenation. So I'm going to do a write line and then do property, visibility, oops. All right, hold on a second. See, that's where splitting doesn't work very well for me. So p.type.name plus p.name. And we need to remember the semicolon.
And you can also Alt-Shift-Enter to just maximize those two windows.
Mark, I'm going to have to say no to that because I'm not going to be able to keep up with everything that I need to say. I apologize, guys. Anyway, as you can see, now we have the properties or the fields in this case generated dynamically. I hope you can see that we can easily extend this code to make it do something useful, like implement inotify property change here. But for the sake of this example, I want to keep it simple. I'm going to leave it like this. But one thing here that I would like to address is right now the indentation here is messed up, right? Even though it's generated code, it doesn't mean that a human being is not going to read this code at some point. So it's a good idea to go ahead and fix it up. And the way we can do it is using another method of the base class called pushIndent. So what this will do, it will prepend tab characters in front of each line until I call popIndent. And you can see that now we have our code properly indented. All right, so this is a demo of how easy it is to use T4 to start generating code very, very quickly. You know, this is not something that only tool developers can do because they have all that time. This is something that application developers can do successfully on real world projects where you're under. Time constraints to deliver the actual business functionality as opposed to a tool. Let's see. Let's review the directives that we have seen in this demo. So template directive allows you to specify the programming language that you're going to use. Debug, that's important for template debugging, and we're going to see it in a minute. Inherits, that allows you to specify the base class that your generated text transformation will inherit from. Host-specific, you can use that to get to the Visual Studio templating host and do some advanced code generation tasks, which we may have a chance to touch on. And culture affects how the template will transform the values of the expression blocks to strings. Output directive can help you change the extension of the output file. You can also change the encoding of the output file as well, if you need that. Include directive. So this is your bread and butter mechanism of code reuse with T4. So you include a file. If you're familiar with the include directive in C++, this works very similarly. So you specify a file that you want to include. The contents of that file are merged with the master.tt file and before they are compiled. In T4, you can use relative paths. Be careful, though. In Visual Studio 2008, resolution of relative paths is limited to just one level. In Visual Studio 2010, you can also use environment variables. You can also use project variables. So those are the MS Build project properties that, that you have in your project files. And finally, you can use the absolute absolute file paths there as well. Assembly directive allows you to reference an assembly that your template needs to be compiled with in order to run. You can specify assembly by name, in which case T4 will try to locate it in the global assembly cache, or in Visual Studio 2010, it will also try to locate it in the MEF directory catalogs. You can also, in 2010, you can specify the path using environment variables and project variables, and finally, as a last resort, you still have the option of specifying absolute path to the assembly. Import, so this is your imports directive in Visual Basic, or your using directive in C#. Hopefully self-explanatory. Parameter, so I'm told that 2010 will provide a parameter directive that can be used to generate properties in the template classes so that you can pass parameters to your templates that way. I don't know exactly how this works. Haven't had a chance to try it yet. All right, so you know, I was giving this demo before, so I was able to find and resolve the errors quickly. There were no runtime errors, just some compilation errors. But you know, in the real world code generators, you will have errors. Your code generator code is code itself, so it will have problems that you will need to be able to resolve. And when it comes to code generation. There are two kinds of errors that you can encounter. One is the errors that occur during compilation stage. So these are the T4 syntax errors or the your Visual Basic or C# syntax errors. And the runtime errors. So these are the exceptions that occur. These are the exceptions that your code throws when it runs during the code generation. Let's take a look. All right, so here's a compilation error. I'm going to delete the semicolon from my template. And you can tell that it's relatively easy to resolve this. You get nice error reporting. You can double-click the error line to have the cursor jump back to the place where it occurred. So you can fix it quickly. Here's a T4 syntax error. So I'm going to mistype my output directive as output. I don't think there is a directive like that. So T4 agrees and says that no processor was specified for a directive named output. Again, you can find the error quickly, fix it, and get your code generator going. Now, the runtime errors, on the other hand, are more difficult. They are exceptions. So let me introduce one. I'm going to go to my helper method. And so this is where it returns the actual object that represents the model, right? So I'm gonna introduce an error by returning a null here. So when I save this file, first thing that you're gonna notice, there is no errors reported. Why is that? That's because the transformation was not turned on for this particular file. If you look at the properties of this file in Solution Explorer, you will see that the custom tool is empty. Compare it to this UML demo file where we have text templating file generator. So that's the custom tool that T4 provides. That's the custom tool that transforms your templates. Right, so we're not going to get an error in our included file because T4 has not been able to transform it yet. If we go ahead and transform our template, you'll see that the error is now reported. Well, first thing to notice here is that the file is reported incorrectly, right? And it's not the T4's fault. It's just the model that is being used for compilation of these templates. So the name of the file is umldemo.tt. So that does not tell us where the actual problem lies, right? We can make it a little bit better by turning on debugging options. So I'm going to turn on the debug option in my template directive. All right. So this time, notice that the error message is a little bit more detailed. So this call stack that I see in the error window here. Let me increase this for you. You can see that it actually now includes the line number where the exception was thrown. So we can hopefully isolate the error. So it's somewhere here. Now in this contrived example, the error is simple, right? In the actual scenarios, you'll probably have errors that you have no idea what they're caused by. So that's where template debugging comes in. The way the templates are transformed, so they are transformed inside of Visual Studio itself. And so in order to debug a template when it's running, you need to have a second instance of Visual Studio open as a debugger. So here's how it's done. I have a second instance of my Visual Studio open here, and let's see. Let me save all files here so that I, yep. Okay. So here's my file, my TT file that I want to debug. I'm going to open it with just a plain text editor. And in order to debug it, we need to first attach the debugger to our main instance of Visual Studio. So I'm going to head and do that, devenv.exe. As soon as my symbols stop loading. I made a mistake of turning on debug symbols a few weeks ago. I still haven't figured out a way to turn it off. Well, anyway, so let's see if we can set a breakpoint now. So, guys, if you have used T4 in Visual Studio 2008, this deserves an applause for the DSL teams, because this didn't work in 2008. I was able to actually place a breakpoint, so I think this is cool. So anyway, let me run the transformation again, and look at that. It actually broke into debugger right where I placed the breakpoint. And so I can step through, and I have all of the usual debugging features at my disposal, so I can look at locals, watches, so on and so forth, call stack. So hopefully the debugger will help you to identify the source of the problem and fix it. All right, so let me return this back to normal in case I need it later. And okay, awesome. All right, so once you have developed your code generator, the next question is how do you deploy and integrate it, right? And the answer to that question depends on what type of role are you in? Are you building code generators for internal consumption? Let's say that you're building a code generator for your own team, or are you building a code generator for external clients? So the simplest way to integrate and deploy the templates is. If you're on a project, on an application development project, just check in the template in your source control system, and let your development team get the template when they do get latest. They'll be able to run it. And now that in 2010 the relative path resolution of the include directive has been solved, you can build pretty sophisticated code generation solution with this approach. On the other hand, if you are building a code generator for an external client, let's say that you built a modeling tool, then you have several different options, right? So here's an example of a code generator, T4 based code generator that the ADO.NET team provided in beta 1. So I'm going to create an entity data model. I'm old-fashioned, so I'm going to use the Northwind database. I like Northwind. Do you guys like Northwind? All right. so, um, So this is a standard standard. Let's see. Let me close this out. Okay. So this is a standard entity designer. But now in the beta 1, there's also this cool thing called IDEO.NET Entity Object Generator. And this is an example of a T4-based generator that that is wrapped as a project item template. And you can add it to your project. So as soon as you add it, there's this big, scary exception stack here. The reason for that is we haven't specified a parameter here. So we're going to put northwind.edmx. All right. So as soon as we fix it, the error goes away. And look at that. We now have 3,400 lines of code generated in a single file. Isn't that cool? But wait, we have two of them, right? So we need to make sure that we go ahead and delete it here, right? We delete the remove the standard code generator associated with the associated with the DMX file. so now we have our code. We have our code generator that we can customize. So a developer who is not on your team, who is your client, can customize this code generator and make the code generator fit their needs, right? This is a good thing. Now, there's a problem with this approach, though. If we modify, let's see, let me get rid of this thing. If we modify our EDMX file, I'm going to delete this customer demo entity. So we save the EDMX. I still can't figure out why I get prompted to do that. We save the EDMX, but the our code has not been regenerated, right? We still have this customer demo entity here. So we need to run the code generation manually in order to get rid of it. So this is not a big deal, but you know when you have to do that repeatedly over and over and over again, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to introduce bugs that go to QA. Might even go to production. God forbid. So this is not optimal. If you're a tool vendor, this is something that you don't want your customers to have to experience, right? So the solution to this this problem is to build your own custom tool that would use your template to generate code for you. And this is not hard to do. Actually, thanks to Jean-Marc for a pointer on this. So this is all the code that you need to write in order to build a custom tool. You basically create a class that descends from templated code generator in the Visual Studio Text Templating VS Host assembly. You mark it with a unique GUID that you need to generate. This is used during registration, and you need to override the generate code method. So normally this just takes it assumes the input file is the .tt file. So what you need to do is you need to retrieve your template from let's say that you have it compiled as a resource. So retrieve from a resource or perhaps load it from an external file, and pass it to the inherited generate code method. So this is all the code that you need to do. Now the.
I'm sorry. I had a question. Does that mean that if I add a new method to my code generator, similar to the write method we saw, that's probably in templated code generator, that now in my TT file I can simply call that method just like I could call write?
Yes and no. This would not be the place to define your custom methods. We're going to talk about precompiled templates in a minute. The registration, if you guys are interested, so basically there are two parts. You register your custom tool as a COM object. So that's your class GUID, the GUID that you applied. That's the full name of your class. That's the assembly, which is in this case deployed to GAC. You also then need to register the custom tool for each particular project type that you want it to be available in. So this particular GUID represents the C# project system. This name, that's the actual name that you'll need to type in the custom tool property window. It doesn't have to match the name of the class, but it does here. And that again is the name of the GUID that you registered your COM object with. Not a big deal. This is definitely doable. Now, what's the problem with this approach? Well, we're back to the previous situation where we have let's say that it's our entity classes generator. We have it. We have a completely encapsulated closed box code generator that developers cannot customize. You know, who cares that it's done in T4 internally? It's still a closed box. You have no access to it. One of the potential solutions to this problem is to have what I called in this demo a two-stage hybrid. So have a custom tool that triggers a T4-based template that actually generates the code. So here's how it could work. Let me find my mouse. So I'm gonna copy this code, and for now I'm gonna delete this. So here for the Northwind EDMX file, I'm gonna use T4 script file generator. So this custom tool is part of the T4 toolbox on CodePlex. It's not part of the default installation of Visual Studio. So what it does, it basically generates a TT script. I'm gonna paste the code that I took from my original TT file here, and save it. So the end result is now you have the same code generated. But here's the cool thing, right? Let me see. We now have an entity model without that customer demo table. We have no customer demo table generated here, right? Let's update this model to add it back in. So I'm gonna go ahead and add it. Click finish. All right. So right now, my EDMX file is still not saved. Look what happens when I save it. Oops. Why does it do that? All right, let's see. Let me try save all. Maybe that will work. Okay. All right, so the model is saved now. And if we look at our generated file, the focus didn't work. So here it is. So this was the effect that I was hoping to achieve. Whenever the model file is saved, it triggers the .tt file, which regenerates the output code. Let me try this again. This didn't work as I expected. All right, so let me delete it again. Save. And look at our file. Okay, so the customer demo went away again. So this was the intended behavior. So in other words, now we come here, we make changes to the EDMX file, we save the file, it automatically triggers the T4-based code generation, which there's still a template file that you can customize. And so the T4-based template file actually generates the output code. All right? So that's the two-phase hybrid approach that you can have for integration as well. So this is a quick review of your deployment and integration options. if you're gonna use the template files or custom tool or the hybrid approach, you will probably have to create project item templates, and you're probably going to have to build either a V6 or an MSI deployment package to deploy to your client's computers. All right, let's see how we're doing on time. I think we're good. We have about 20 minutes. All right. So in Visual Studio 2010, a new feature was added called pre-processed templates. There's a new custom tool called Text Templating File Preprocessor. So unlike the traditional one, Text Templating File Generator, this one does not do two stages of code generation. It only performs one. It generates a compile template class, or a pre-processed template class. All of the templating functionality still works the same. So you can see our text block and our code block was transformed, became a part of the transform text method. But here are the differences. Base class, by default, the base class is empty. So this does not have a dependency on Visual Studio. This allows you to build a code generator that you ship with your application and generate code at runtime without having a dependency on Visual Studio. This is pretty cool. The reason it's possible is because now all of the supporting templating code is by default generated in this class itself. This class is also partial, so you can extend it. You can extend it using a traditional .vb or .cs file. That becomes handy when you have a complex complex template that could be simplified by breaking it up into parts, sort of your presentation logic and your underlying model access or business logic, if you will. And by the way, the name of the class, it's no longer the generated text transformation. It matches the name of the TT file that you created. So in this particular case, the name of the TT file was mytexttemplate.tt. All right, so let's see what we can do with the pre-processed templates. Let's see. Okay. All right, I'm going to start with a fresh project. This time, let me close this down. All right. So this time I'm going to add an item of type pre-processed text template. I'm going to call this class template. All right. So here's that different custom tool. It's a text templating file processor, and the output file here is the precompiled templates template class. All right, I lost my mouse for a second here. All right. Let me reboot my mouse.
On USB?
It's Bluetooth. Anyway, acted up. Well, anyway, okay, there we go. I have it back. So what I want to do here is I want to take a fragment of code from my original template. So this code that generates a single class, and that's what I'm going to place here. All right. So if I compile this, okay. All right, that's why I have a backup plan.
Video?
No video, no tricks. All right, so if I compile this, I see some compilation errors, and that's because right now the variable C is not defined. So what I want to do here, I want to parameterize this template. And so I'm going to create a class feature block. And I'm going to declare a public property here of type iClass called class. All right, and I also need an import directive here. Okay, let's see if it compiles now. Okay, well, I have to fix it, right? All right, there we go. It compiles. So how do we use it? How do we use this this template class? Let me show you. So here's my original text, my original text template. So this time, instead of generating here in place, let's see, I'm going to delete this. And I'm going to use my precompile template. So my precompile template will be in this assembly right here. And the first thing I need to do is reference it. Okay. All right. Once that's done, I should be able to create an instance of it. Once I have an instance of my precompile template, I can specify the property that I defined in it. So we need to assign the class property, and call its transform text method. So at this point, the output that this particular precompile template generates will be stored in the code variable. And at this point, I can write it to the output file just for the demo purposes. Okay. All right, so the end result is we have the same code now generated with a precompile template. Now, this example is a bit contrived, right? I mean, we're using a precompile template, and we are still plugging it into a T4 template here. But I mean, on the other hand, it's a scenario that you might want to explore if let's say that you're a tool vendor and you're building code generators that you sell, and you want to protect your intellectual property from reasonable level of attacks. And so you can prevent casual piracy by precompiling your template and performing validation checks in the constructor of the template. So it's not a too far-fetched scenario. let's see.
Is it a reuse scenario too?
It's also a reuse scenario. One of the main reasons this functionality was put in place was if you have a custom application, this would be the code right here that you would place in your custom application to generate whatever content or code that your application needs to generate. All right, let's see how I'm doing on time. Here's a quick recap of what's new in T4 in Visual Studio 2010. So pre-processed templates, really cool. You can redistribute them without Visual Studio. They include an assembly directives, were enhanced to support environment variables, project variables, and MEF content directories. The include directive now supports multiple levels of relative path resolution. So that's really helpful for people who use code generation on internal application development projects. Parameter directive, and MS build task. So one of the new features I'm told that is coming is an MS build task that will help you to perform the code generation at build time as opposed to the design time. And finally, the deployment of templates can be done with V6 packages, which should be simpler than building a full-blown MSI. So that's all I have for now. Let's open it up for questions.
Could you get the tool to work with the process template or the pre-process template? We didn't see code highlighting in that.
The tool, yes. So the T4 editor, which is, by the way, that's the link for T4 editor. The T4 editor does support the pre-process templates, but unfortunately, it's still in early beta that. There are some bugs that the guys at Tangible have not been able to work out yet. Forgot to mention a great deal of information on text templating on MSDN. Search for domain-specific language tools. Also, the link that John Mark had on his slides. So the code.msdn.microsoft.com/dsl-tools. That's where the code will be available tomorrow. Now, the perspective of documentation on MSDN regarding text templating is that of a tool developer. If you're an application developer and you want to use T4 to in a context of application development, you might not find it very helpful. I have a great deal of information on my website at alexsich.com. If you browse to Articles tab, there is a link to Text Template Transformation Toolkit, which should be a good starting point. And finally, the T4 toolbox on CodePlex, that's a set of extension for the standard T4 functionality, such as it allows you to generate multiple output files, automatically add them to different projects and folders, automatically manage source control operations, and also has some ready-to-use templates. Questions? All right. Well, I'm going to be here if you'd like to come up and ask questions privately. I'll be here. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.